This is the Digital Nomad Quest podcast with Sharon Sung, teaching people how to build passive income, become financially free, and design their best lives. Hey guys, it's Sharon from Digital Nomad Quest.
And this is Sean with Everything REI.
And today we're going to talk about how we bought a moldy house at $125,000. So this is going to be a vlog style video where we're going to talk about our journey purchasing this property. And we're actually going to go fly over there. We're going to be a lot more part of this process. So we're going to try to document more of this journey while we're on it. So this is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be like a little series.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this process too, because this is the first time where we're going to be super hands-on with the project instead of just outsourcing all the work to a general contractor or to a project manager.
So let's back up from the beginning. We did a trip to Vegas together, and I think from that trip, we were kind of inspired to possibly get a rental property in Vegas. So we started shopping. He even contacted an agent he knows.
Yeah, so I hit up a buddy of mine. Again, we were in Las Vegas. We had such a good time there. We thought, why not buy a rental property in Las Vegas, possibly buy it for under market value, rehab it a little bit, and then Airbnb it, get some cash flow from it, refinance and get our money back out.
Yeah, so we were pretty interested. I was on Zillow like every single day sending new properties to the agent, like, oh, what about this one? What about this one? But then I came across this deal on a Facebook group. It was on my feed and it was basically about a possible flip. So I contacted the wholesaler who essentially said this is a $130,000 property. It was 4-bedroom, 2.5 bath, almost 3,000 square feet, which is huge. And we thought, oh, this could be an opportunity because it's actually in one of the markets that I was interested in. So we decided to make an offer with them.
Yeah, and the beauty of it is you're actually in this metro. So it's one city over from an area that your property's in. So we kind of knew the layout. You actually drove by there about 2 years ago and you saw how beautiful it was in that market. So this isn't like a C-class neighborhood. This is actually like a maybe an A-class neighborhood. Super nice, but this one property had a lot of problems with it. Do you want to talk about the problems?
Yeah, I mean, basically, there's a ton of mold in this property. We look at the pictures, and it's just like mold in the ceilings. There's just like a bunch of mold everywhere. Actually, the problem got worse later on, so the pictures aren't even as bad as what it currently is. Yeah, like I said, it was super nice when I visited that area and I looked it up on maps and it was like, okay, there's a bunch of huge properties next to it. There's all green grass. Like I knew that people cared about their properties. It was like a nice neighborhood. So we were like, maybe this is an opportunity, kind of like my first property purchase in Antioch where the prices have appreciated over $400,000. Like maybe we could keep this property, hold on to it, and it would appreciate a lot in the future. Plus, even currently, if we fix it up, I was pretty sure we could get an after repair value of at least $260,000. Now it's probably around $300,000, right?
Yeah, because the market has appreciated in this like month or so that we've been in escrow. So when we got this property, we saw the purchase price and we saw the potential that it could have. We thought this was a slam dunk deal and we should get in on it.
So I texted the wholesaler and he was giving me messages like, oh, you know, we'll definitely consider your offer. It's definitely high on the list, all this stuff. So with this, we actually offered $115,000 and then they came back saying, oh, someone actually is offering $120,000. And then we offered $125,000 saying, okay, we won't have contingencies because they basically said definitely no contingencies. You have to just go for it. So we offered $125,000, but they were saying stuff like, oh, you are high on the list, definitely considering you. And we've already done stuff like this where we would offer on these fixers and they'll say stuff, and then we just had this feeling like, oh, we probably didn't get it, right? So we were like, okay, whatever. But the next day, he was like, all right,
we'll send you the offer, and over the weekend, he'll send that total ratified agreement to the tile company to make it kind of official.
So we were like, okay, like 99% chance we're probably gonna get it. So we have this in the back of our mind because of so many situations like this where we didn't get it, we were just like, who knows if we'll get it actually, but we ended up getting it, so we're pretty excited. We're in escrow now.
So the earnest money deposit was for $3,500, and that earnest money deposit was at risk from day one. Because we signed a non-contingent offer, if we were to back out, we would forfeit that $3,500 no matter what.
So I kind of went over that we were planning to hold this property, but for a while we were kind of discussing like, oh, should we flip this property? Should we sell it? Or should we hold on to it? We decided it would make sense if we held on and then repaired it, got tenants in, and then did a cash out refi. So we were also discussing financing options and how we could do it.
So since the purchase price ended up being paying $125,000. The loan amount wasn't really large enough for us to use a conventional hard money lender like with Conventus. And for the smaller hard money lending companies, they charge a lot in fees, interest, and points. So it really made sense to try to do this with cash.
So we decided we could probably get a private money lender. And we decided, you know, with my family, we had a HELOC I could tap into of 130K. And if we tapped into that, we could essentially do the whole cash out refinance, pay them back with interest, and then be able to hold on to the property and have a cash flow and appreciate in the future. We just think this is probably one of those slam dunk properties like my first investment where it just appreciated so much. So that's why we really wanted to hold on to this one. We think this market is hot. It's in Texas. It's near a city that is appreciating value like crazy. So because that city is coming up, we think that the one we're investing in is gonna come up as well.
So by the way, if you guys didn't know what a HELOC stands for a home equity line of credit. And that's basically where you have a lot of equity in your home. You could tap into the home's equity without having to do a cash out refinance. Basically gives you a revolving line of credit to use as cash whenever you want to. HELOCs also generally have a lower interest rate. So we're talking about 3 or 4% here versus a hard money loan, which would be in the 8 or 9% range.
Yeah, we also figured like because we have a lower interest, we could do this kind of slower than trying to rush it, trying to get all the renovations done in a smaller frame of time so that we can get out of that hard money loan as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and in this case too, for the BRRRR strategy, what we're doing, the final cash out part usually takes 6 months anyway. The lenders won't give you cash out based on the new appraised value until after you've owned the property for over 6 months.
Now, another part of our goals is that we want to get closer with the renovation process, like Sean mentioned, right? We want to really understand how to kind of fix things, how to get our hands dirty and do stuff alongside with contractors, or be able to just like manage the process better instead of just handing off the entire process to like a PM. So normally with our rentals, we will hand off a lot of the process to a PM to kind of arrange it because we figure they are the ones who understand the market the most. They're gonna be able to get it rent ready quicker, more cost efficient. So we thought normally we'll do it this way, but with this property, we decided like, let's fly out there. Let's actually be really part of the process, manage the renovations and just make a whole like document series of the whole process for you guys. So that's what was really exciting for us as well.
Yeah, we think this is going to be a lot of fun. And one of our long-term plans is to start flipping again here in the Bay Area. And we figure, you know, with a property here in the Bay Area, it costs a lot of money and there's a lot more risk. So if we can take our time and really learn and practice on one of these other properties in other markets, then we think it'll be beneficial for us in the long run.
Yeah, definitely. I think like once we learn those skills, we can do the same process in this market or wherever else, right? If you can find good deals and you understand how to fix up a home, you're going to definitely like be able to get some good profits if you flip it or if you do, you know, the way we're going to do it this way, where we're going to get tenants in, we're going to do a cash out refi, get the money back. No matter what, this is gonna be good for our real estate journey and we're super excited about it.
Okay, so now I'm gonna talk about the inspections. So typically when we buy a property, we always order a third party inspection regardless. Like we wanna know exactly what is wrong with the property so that we can go in there knowing what we need to fix. And as per our usual procedures, once we got this property under contract, I talked to the wholesaler to get the lockbox on the door to get an inspector inside as soon as possible so that we can start building a team of contractors to go in there and fix it once we close escrow. We called probably 10 different inspecting companies. We found one that seemed really good for us, who could fit in a schedule in a pretty quick time frame, and he was actually pretty affordable too. Now, when they went there, they realized how bad it was, and they were saying, this is not like a safe environment for someone who just has a regular like COVID mask to go in. You need some actual full equipment to go into this moldy home, otherwise it's hazardous to your health. Long story short, they weren't able to do their typical property inspection, and they said, look, for this kind of job, you need someone who knows mold, not just a general property inspector.
I just remember that morning, like I was in bed and then Sean came and he's like, babe, I have some bad news. So he was telling me about this whole thing and I was like freaking out inside. I was like, dude, is this gonna be really costly? Are we gonna have a lot of difficulty with this? So I was like on my laptop Googling like, oh my God, like, you know, mold remediation stuff. I was YouTubing like all this stuff, right, with the process and trying to like understand more. So I was freaking out. I was worried that the costs were gonna be super high. I talked to the wholesaler actually and let him know the inspector couldn't go. We also had to have him turn on the utilities for the inspection initially. So I was like, hey, can you turn off the water? And I was worried that the mold would get worse if we're going to turn on the water. I told him about the situation, and he actually was nice enough to send over some quotes that he had gotten in the past of the mold remediation process. And it looked like it was going to be $25,000 to $35,000. So I was like, oh man, this is pretty high. And then I went on YouTube, found this YouTuber who looks at mold stuff, like he was a mold remediator or whatever they're called. I emailed him and I was like, hey, do you guys have any services? Like, cause I was like, he seems like a trustworthy guy. Basically on YouTube, I was looking up stuff like how to know if the mold inspector or remediator is overcharging you or whatever. And then I found this guy's videos and I thought he was trustworthy because he's trying to warn people like if they're overcharging. And he emailed back. He was like, hey, send me like the quotes you got and I'll look over it. And he actually like looked over it for free and was like really nice. So I felt a lot more at ease because I could potentially like talk to him about some future quotes I might get. He was saying like, hey, I'm happy to do this for you. I just feel like the industry can be shady sometimes. I'm happy to help someone out. So if you guys are in a situation like this, make sure to hit up Brad from Look Mold. He was the one who talked to me about all this stuff and he's super nice. So I'm going to link his YouTube channel below.
So after we discovered that we need to get this mold situation handled before we can get a general property inspector in there, we started calling different mold remediation companies, people that can go inside, you know, see what the issue is and give us a quote on what it would take to clear up all the mold in the home. Then we called another 10 or 12 different companies, and a majority of them actually told us that they cannot do anything for us until we get something called a mold protocol. So now this involves another person, and this is a mold inspector. So this mold inspector is a third-party company that will go inside the house, do the inspection, write down a protocol that tells the mold remediation companies what they have to do to fix the problem. And people were telling us that the protocol itself costs around $1,000, maybe $550 for that first phase where they go in and write the protocol, and another $450 to come back after the mold remediation is done to then inspect and make sure the job is done correctly. So after calling a lot of these different mold remediation companies, one person was kind enough to just give us an initial quote. He's like, look, I can't do anything until I have that protocol. Especially we need that for Texas law, but I'm able to just go inside there and give you a ballpark estimate. And he asked me, he said, hey, do you want me to kind of quote you based on time and materials? Or do you want me to quote you based on a line by line bid? From my experience, time and materials isn't a great quote because they can just like change numbers in the future. I wanted to know line by line what they thought they were going to do. So I let him go inside, take a look, and then the results surprised me. The bid came back at $35,000, which was a lot higher than we expected. Initially, he said it was going to be $15,000 to $20,000 based on his initial impression, but when it came back at $35,000, even he was shocked. He also told me that that $35,000 number might be overinflated, just like you were mentioning before. And the reason why some mold remediation companies do that is because for the most part, most people are using their insurance to cover these mold remediation things, not individual investors like us. So he said, look, I know I told you 15 to 20, it's at 35, it's a little bit higher than I quoted you. I can do it for you for $25,000. So that's really where we're at right now with this particular company. Eventually we thought, you know what, let's try to get more bids. I want other mold remediation companies to take a look at this. So let's go ahead and order the protocol ourselves. So that's where we're at right now. We called different mold inspection companies and we found one that we felt was really good, and we decided to have her just do the mold protocol herself. So as of this moment, we're waiting for that mold protocol to get back. It should come in a couple days.
So the protocol was $1,100 and we are in escrow till end of July. So I don't know when we're going to release this video, but hopefully I do it before the close date, so it's kind of like still relevant. So once we get that protocol, we will probably get more quotes from more remediation companies. Hopefully we can get that number down, but I guess at the max, hopefully it's going to be $25,000. For the mold remediation. Basically, they also said it's worse than the pictures, like I mentioned earlier in the video. So yeah, we'll see how this goes. I wanna kinda run over the numbers again. I know we talked about a lot of stuff, so let's just do a little recap of everything. So first, purchase price was $125,000. We got that down from $130,000.
The earnest money was for $3,500, but that's included in the purchase price.
Another thing I forgot to mention earlier is we did research also on not just the comps, like I mentioned, but also on estimated rent. So we did talk to a property management company and they said probably around $2,000 per month is what we would be able to get for rent. We looked on Rentometer and we looked on Craigslist and it seemed to hold true that we would probably get around $2,000 a month in rents, which seems pretty good. So if you guys are looking for comparables as well as rent estimation, you'd probably want to check Zillow, you'd want to check Craigslist, you want to check Rentometer. On Zillow, you would want to filter for sold. You would want to check in that same area. You'd want to make sure you're comparing with the same bedroom bath count, similar square footage, and that's kind of how you're going to see what the after repair value could be for the property. Another thing I forgot to mention is that the wholesaler said the estimated rehab cost would be around $75,000. I was asking him, like, is it going to be 50K-ish or is it going to be 100K-ish? He said it's probably in the middle. And we started noticing that now when I'm looking at comps, it's actually closer to 300K possibly. So we probably have enough room for renovation costs and we'll be okay.
Yeah, so if you break down the numbers, we're purchasing for 125K. We budgeted between 75 and 100K for the total rehab, including the mold remediation. So in the worst case, we're in for $225,000. So if we take an after repair value of $300,000, then we will be at 75% loan to value when we refinance out into a long-term loan.
Last things also is $1,100 for the protocol and $25K for the mold remediation cost max, hopefully. So we're going to try to get that number down as well. And then later we're going to get more estimates for other types of renovations that we need to do. So that's currently where we're at. This is kind of a new type of project for us too. And it's been pretty fun because also he mentioned that we work well together because he is okay with talking to people on the phone. I'm not so much. I'm okay with doing the research and I will nag him to like get things done.
Yep. So she's out there typing on the keyboard, finding all the different people to call. And I'm like, all right, another one. Hey, another one. Hey, okay, blah, blah, blah.
Pretty much. Yeah. And I am okay with that. So it's a good partnership and we're excited for everything. We have flights booked to this property around mid-August. So hopefully we'll get some cool footage then and we'll have some more updates for you guys.
So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. It really helps our podcast grow. And thanks again. I'll see you guys in the next one.